Chapter 16. For once, all of Jackson's monitors were giving her ultra-deaf without any pixelation or noise. Even the feeds from the work crews out on the hull were strong. She got to enjoy it for almost half a minute before a buzzer sent ripples through almost all the images and made one roll like an antique cathode ray tube. So much for taking time to smell the reses, she thought. The screen directly in front of her went black, and large orange block capital letters scrolled up from the bottom, UPP Rodina, Diplomatic Encrypt, Diplocor W. Schumann. Jackson turned to the monitor beside it, bobbed her head so the light pen clipped to her cap would wake it up. A moment later, her assistant Lulu appeared on screen, looking sleepy and put out. That would teach her to sneak off for a nap. Buzz Werner Schumann and tell him we've got another call from Rodina, coded standard diplomatic, Jackson said. I guess his opposite number at the UPP decided it's time for another bullshit session. And make sure you tell him that yes, it came directly to me here in operations, again, and no, I don't know why. Lulu yawned.
You ask me? I think they just like pissing him off.
Werner Schumann sat alone in the anti-bug bubble, gazing into the flat screen and camera setup on the table in front of him. Irina Duchamp always kept him waiting. This time, it was 20 minutes before she appeared on the monitor with her camera angled, so she was looking down on him, as usual. Her predecessors had all played the same silly, semiotic game, and Schumann wondered if any of them would ever realize it was too obvious to take seriously. Today, Duchamp's black hair was cropped very close to her skull, a drastic change from the last time he'd seen her, when she'd had it braided in tight, complicated patterns. Perhaps Rodina's council were on another anti-vanity crusade, and officials had restricted personal grooming time to 5 minutes a day. In Schumann's opinion, the progressive peoples had far too many hang-ups. He let her speak first before giving the customary formal greeting. Duchamp's response was a diatribe about their violating the UPP's sovereign borders and with a military transport, no less. The UPP could have taken it as an act of war and, fearing for the lives of their citizens and for their very existence as a nation, responded with force. Schumann bided his time while she lectured him about how lucky Anchor Point was that the UPP had exercised caution and patience by waiting to see if the Sulaco would fire on them. When it hadn't, they had decided not to blast the ship into atoms, thus saving the lives of the three people aboard. Nor did we seize it as an object abandoned in space, and thus officially ownerless, Duchamp continued loftily, which we had every right to do. However, Schumann said the word in unison with her, but louder. It startled her enough that she hesitated and he jumped in. You detected the specific destination in the still active navigational system, as well as the glitch that had caused it to accidentally breach your borders. This proves the Sulaco wasn't abandoned, nor was its presence an act of aggression. Its weapon system is for defense only, which I'm sure was obvious to you. To his surprise, Duchamp didn't take the bait about inspecting the weapon system. Instead, she smiled, cordially, but without warmth. The UPP does understand your claim that there was no malign intent, she said. So, in the spirit of goodwill, we are returning your lost property to you, and, I might add, in much better condition than it was when we found it. Schumann stared at her. Had she actually just admitted outright that they'd confiscated the other half of the synthetic from the Sulaco? We do have the right to board any vessel that crosses the border into our nation space, even by accident, she added. In accordance with the Benevolent Civilizations Treaty, we are obligated to check on the welfare of the passengers. If they were injured or if their sleep capsules had malfunctioned, we couldn't just leave them to die, which was how we discovered the robot. At first, we thought it was beyond repair. Fortunately, we have brilliant engineers who were able to fix it, restoring its motor functions and providing it with new legs. Schumann almost laughed. You realize, of course, he said, speaking quickly so she couldn't interrupt, that under our laws, androids are afforded the status of citizens. They have rights. Under your system, Duchamp said, oozing disapproval, the UPP affords them the status of what they are. Machines. Robots. Tools. Pause. Inanimate objects. A wave of ennui passed through Schumann. He'd had this discussion with every single one of her predecessors, more than once. But under our equally valid legal system, he said, you're holding one of our citizens captive, without cause. The Sulaco entered UPP space purely by accident. You, however, are doing this deliberately. Two pink spots appeared on Duchamp's cheekbones.
Perhaps you didn't hear me. We provided your citizen with new legs.
Would you make such extensive repairs to one of our machines? And this so-called citizen, she all but spat the word, this robot, this object named Bishop, was removed during a treaty violation by one of your armed military vessels.
The Sulaco was homing in on Anchor Point, Schumann said patiently. You've already acknowledged this violation was just a malfunction in the navigation system, not an intentional hostile act.
We've acknowledged your claim to that effect, Duchamp said stiffly. Schumann didn't hesitate.
While holding one of our citizens without cause.
The incident is being investigated as a possible violation of the Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty, Duchamp added. Schumann's jaw dropped.
I'm sorry. I don't think I heard you correctly, he said with a small, incredulous laugh. The Sulaco's weapon systems comply with all regulations.
Another wrong answer, Duchamp said with a small, dismissive gesture. I refer to those sections of the treaty concerned with biological warfare.
And there it was. The times were about to get interesting, just like the old Earth curse.
He could retire, Schumann thought. He had enough years in for a full pension, but he was still young enough for another career if he wanted.
That allegation has absolutely no basis, he began.
What allegation? Duchamp was wide-eyed and slightly hurt. We make no allegations at this time. I was simply discussing an ongoing investigation. In any case, the robot you call Bishop is of no further use to us in our inquiries, so we're returning it to you, fully repaired and functioning, to demonstrate our goodwill, with, as I said, new legs. Schumann remained silent. You're welcome, she added finally, and broke the connection. Bishop stood back while the Vietnamese commando opened the hatch, not moving until she gestured for him to go out ahead of her. She had been uncommunicative for the entire duration of the trip from Rodina Station. He had attempted to ask her about her tattoos, then given up after seeing how uncomfortable it made her. He'd already known how the Union of Progressive Peoples regarded artificial persons, but simply knowing about something was very different from engaging with the reality, even for him. He had never been among people who didn't regard him as an intelligent entity. It gave the humans on Rodina Station a degree of strangeness that to him was practically alien. At the same time, he could tell that not all of them were as certain about him as the UPP had told them they should be. The Vietnamese commando, for instance. He had sensed a great deal of curiosity from her as well as some apprehension, which was only normal for people who had little or no experience with APs. The strict orders she'd been given not to interact with him beyond the necessary minimum hadn't killed her curiosity, although it had increased her anxiety, and not just about him, turning a simple assignment into an ordeal. From what he gleaned of life in the UPP during his short stay, their brand of progressive intellect was supposed to be realistic. They didn't play with dolls and pretend they were human. The UPP had designated artificial intelligence as something confined to a computer. It was machinery. Strictly something, not someone. In their worldview, only the deluded, the decadent, or the willfully blind would treat things like people. Bishop had hoped the commando's curiosity would impel her to talk to him, so that even if she decided he was less than human, she might be able to understand him as more than an inanimate object. After giving it more thought, however,
Bishop realized that was actually a very bad idea. The UPP had no intermediate level between human and machine, between organic or inorganic. Seeing him as anything more than a robot would put her in direct conflict with her own government, which was not a safe place to be. She was better off obeying the order not to engage. It was too bad. Even a single conversation would have given Bishop a fair amount of useful information, although nowhere nearly as much as what they'd taken from him. He knew the company would already be frantic about that, but stolen data was a minor issue compared to the threat posed by the xenomorphs. He had yet to find out what had happened when the Sulaco had arrived at Anchor Point, what they had found when they'd opened the airlock. To his knowledge, the UPP hadn't even tried to warn the station about the Sulaco's dangerous stowaways. If Hicks, Ripley, and Newt had been compromised too, the space station might already be under siege. But he'd heard nothing in Anchor Point's communications with the commando that indicated anything was wrong. And now, as he stood with her at the top of the interceptor's debarkation ramp, he didn't see anything unusual. The half-dozen Marines waiting on the arrival platform were in full armor and carrying weapons, but the military display would be for the commando's benefit. So she would go home and tell the UPP Anchor Point was well-armed, well-protected, and well-prepared for visitors. If there had been any xenomorphs aboard the Sulaco, they weren't loose in the station. Not yet, anyway. Bishop wasn't obligated to wait for the commando to dismiss him, but it seemed as if, for courtesy's sake, he should. At the moment, she was distracted by the decor. Rodina Station was plain and sparse and mostly shabby. By contrast, Anchor Point's arrival bay was designed to be welcoming, with warm lighting, a display of flags from a multitude of nations, states, and colonies, along with banners from various sports teams and logos of the various corporations currently in residence. But there was still enough wall space for large, colorful murals of planetary systems and alien landscapes. Color-coded lines on the padded flooring directed new arrivals to the customs and immigration kiosks. Even the power loaders, corralled a safe distance from where passengers disembarked, were brightly colored and festooned with designs. After goggling for several minutes, the commando shook her head slightly as if she were coming out of a daze. Then she gestured for him to go. "Kamaban," Bishop said. "Thank you." She didn't react. In her world, there was no such thing as a polite machine. He headed down the ramp to where the Marines waited, with a formally dressed man wearing the purple sash of the diplomatic corps. That would be Werner Schumann, according to Bishop's database. He looked very disappointed, as if he'd expected someone more important than an interceptor pilot. Bishop paused at the bottom to look back. The commando darted back into the shuttle. Maybe she'd only wanted to make sure he got all the way down the ramp without falling. His replacement legs weren't nearly as sophisticated as the originals. Sensation and range of motion were drastically reduced, which made it difficult to adjust to them. Even his proprioception was off. The Rodina technicians who had worked on him had made sure he knew the UPP didn't waste top-of-the-line inventory on robots, not when there were disabled people in need of prosthetic limbs. However, Bishop's quick and very discreet scan of the robotics lab had told him that anyone in need of prosthetics would be no better off than he was.
"Artificial person Bishop, welcome to Anchor Point," Schumann said in a stiff, formal tone. "You're under quarantine, effective immediately. These Marines will escort you to the medical laboratory. There you will be examined and, if necessary, decontaminated, after which we will complete your repatriation."
The soldiers kept their weapons holstered as they took him to an electric cart, but the tension Bishop could feel among them told the truth. They had found more aboard the Sulaco than three people in cold sleep, and it probably wasn't the now-dead egg in his sleep capsule. There was never just one of anything. And it wasn't over yet.